Christy McPhee's birthday from Fleetwood Mac.
Nice.
Mike, we're very privileged to have Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee joining us. She, of course, is leading the charge in the evocation of the 25th Amendment. Congresswoman Jackson Lee, welcome to the program.
Dr. Drew, it's a delight to be with you. Thank you so very much
for having me. I'm a little confused by how the 25th Amendment works. Tell us how you guys are going about this and what it means.
Well, thank you very much. A number of members of the Judiciary Committee, I'm so glad you asked the question, first of all. The 25th Amendment exists, and it is an amendment that indicates that if there's a determination that the President of the United States becomes incapacitated, what is the process for that individual's replacement? Mr. Raskin of Maryland, of whom I have joined along with a number of other members of the Judiciary Committee and others, recognized that there was not a implementing factor to that amendment. That amendment called for the creation of an oversight commission on presidential capacity. And so that is what this legislation is to do. It is to establish a commission in the legislative branch that will be, as I indicated, the Oversight Commission, and they will go into action if it becomes to a point where there is a question of the capacity of the president to serve. And now, one can remember in the history books, of course, I know your listeners are probably extremely young, as I would count myself, but at the time of the tragic, President Reagan, he became certainly incapacitated for moments in surgery and elsewise, and there was certainly a whole list of individuals that claimed they were in charge. But if it had lasted for a period of time, the 25th Amendment was there, but there wasn't this oversight commission to be able to discern when that would happen and what would happen. This commission would carry out a medical examination of the president, determine whether the president is mentally or physically unable to discharge the powers and duties of the office. And frankly, we thought it was important because the future is not promised or it is not certain. And we are certainly in an atmosphere that I think most Americans have never been in before. I happen to think that the role of Congress is to protect the constitutional integrity of the three branches of government, the judiciary. I've been in hearings where I've argued for enhanced judiciary compensation, but also the independence of the judiciary when the Congress has tried to tell the judiciary how to render decisions. I've argued for their independence. The same thing with the integrity of Congress, that we are independent branch of government that should have vigorous oversight. And that's why I wonder why the Judiciary Committee has not opened up an investigation on the actions of the presidency. With respect to the president, I think constitutionally they have an obligation to lead the country and to be a protector of the constitutional integrity of the Oval Office or the presidency. It's a separate branch of government, the executive. So we're doing our job. That's what we're doing. Well, we don't know what we're predicting. We're doing our job.
A little more about the weeds of the execution of your job. Would this require some sort of a sectional amendment to the constitutional amendment? And if so, is that a constitutional issue or is it a legislative? I'm confused about how this gets actualized.
It gets actualized through a simple legislation.
Simple legislation.
As a bill, right.
So,
and it would have to pass the House and the Senate. So, and in actuality, by the President of the United States.
So it's a way of operationalizing the 25th Amendment. It's a way of making it.
You're absolutely right, Doctor. That's what it is. It is the ABCs. It's the tools of the 25th Amendment.
Right, because I know, I think Woodrow Wilson is sort of the prime example of a president that would have been a good candidate for a medical evaluation that then got presented to Congress. But who would be on that committee? How do we decide who's on the committee that's evaluating the president?
Well, the bill has been designed to have 11 members, two members appointed by the majority leader of the Senate, two members appointed by the minority leader of the Senate, two members appointed by the Speaker of the House, two members appointed by the minority leader, and then two other members would be appointed jointly by out of the Democratic caucus and out of the Republican caucus, so it would be independent individuals. Okay. And I guess I'm sorry to interrupt, I know I have limited time with you.
But who are the medical evaluators? That's what I'm sort of interested in. How do we decide who they are?
This commission would seek a medical evaluation, and that would be certainly some competent medical professional.
Because I can think of many different sort of layers to the kinds of evaluations that people would want to get, and the committee would have to decide that, obviously.
Yes, it's certainly a complicated process, but this is an attempt to be as free of bias as possible. And the commission would carry out a medical examination, not ourselves, but as someone designated, and the assessment would be a mental assessment or a physical assessment with a determination, yes or no, of whether or not they were able to discharge the powers and duties of the office.
Congressman, we have just limited time, and I know you've had a busy day. I'm going to let you go. I have to go to break, too. I really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Congressman.
It's an honor to have you, and we appreciate you being here.
We're delighted. We're so glad you're informing the American public. We all should keep our eyes on the functioning of our government.
Fair enough.
Thank you.